Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome back to Overnight America. So I wanted to give you just this one quick story, and then we're going to go to a friend of the show, someone that we've had on a few times. Her name is Trish Gazelle, and she's on our sister station, KECK. And she tries to explain to me what 90 Day Fiancé is. If you don't know what 90 Day Fiancé is, I'll tell you this. It's worth your time to learn, probably not worth your time to watch it, and that's why we allow someone else to do the dirty work for us, and Trish will come on and explain exactly what that is. What also is very confusing to me is that there are people that actually watch that and enjoy it. I don't understand it. So I wanted to give you just a quick story about two quick stories about good luck. And Marie mentioned something that reminded me of two things. When I was in college, it was extremely snowy time in central Michigan. Snow everywhere. It was a big snowstorm. But you still got around, and I drove my car. I had a four-wheel drive vehicle, and I saw one car, and this is while I was walking to class. There was a car stuck in the snow. So instead of going to class, I said, you know, I'm going to help this person out, and you can tell she really could use the help. She didn't have anyone with her, and her tires were just spinning. So I said, here, I'll help you. I'll push you out of this snow. You'll be able to get out and go on your way. And she was very thankful. I did that. You know, you get your pants wet and the snow just like fills in your socks and you're walking around with wet socks for the rest of the day. And it's just, you know, part of what happens when you push yourself out of snow. So the next day, I'm driving to my radio station job that I held on the weekends. I worked there Friday and Saturdays. It was bad. The roads were extremely icy, and you have to drive back roads to get to a main road to get to it. So you're in the middle of nowhere. Roads are icy, and I'm driving, and I hit a patch of ice, and my Jeep goes sideways, and it goes into a ditch, and it flips on its side, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. This is before there was all kinds of different help opportunities out there, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, this isn't good. I just ruined my Jeep. I'm going to be out here for a while. I'm not hurt. That's good. But it's not a good situation. Now, out of nowhere come these four snowmobiles. Now, they just so happened to witness this in the middle of nowhere on a cold, cold, snowy night. And they come up, are you okay? All right. They said, hey, I think we can flip this back over. So we rocked the Jeep. Rocked it, and eventually, boom, flipped back over. Now, there was so much snow in this ditch, this embankment, that when my Jeep flipped over, it didn't even scratch the Jeep. No damage, no dent, no nothing. Nothing was busted on it. The snow protected it. Now, are the two of those events related? Just so happened to help someone out randomly, and then the next day, there's four people there, which to me were angels out of nowhere and no damage and flipped the car over. I don't know. One could speculate, but that's what Marie's story reminded me of. Here's another story, and this is kind of another close one. friend of the family, friend in the neighborhood, would always take his dog out for a walk in our neighborhood. So he would go out and he would spend a lot of time, and he would go through the fields and the schools and the parks and whatever was on the path. He would go through that sort of thing. So he's walking his regular path and sees a wallet on the ground, and he picks it up and says, oh, it looks like someone lost their wallet. So he finishes his walk, goes back home, looks up the person, finds some contact info, gives the person a call and says, hey, I found your wallet. The person was forever grateful for it. Comes by, picks it up, and gets his wallet. It's very thankful. Here you go. Years later, his son, the person that was walking the dog, our family friend, loses his wallet. And wouldn't you know, randomly, it just so happened that he gets a call from the person that he found his wallet years and years before and says, I recognize the name and the address. You're not going to believe this, but I found your son's wallet. Isn't that something? Now, what are the odds of that happening? I don't know. But I had a couple of those random, weird type of stories that would happen. And I think our mind likes to find connections to things that aren't actually connected. Someone said that life would be a lot weirder if there were no coincidences. Imagine if we lived all of our life and nothing was a coincidence, and there was nothing that was connected. He said that would be more rare than things actually finding themselves connected. I think our brain does a pretty good job of trying to piece things together that are not necessarily meant to be pieced together. But then again, it still makes you wonder and still makes you to sit back and think to yourself, wow, could in fact that have been a direct correlation? So coming up in a few minutes, our friend Trish Gazelle from KEZK, we're going to talk some reality TVs, and she's going to try to convince me, not convince me, but she's going to try to explain to me why people watch this. What's the entertainment value in a show like 90 Day Fiancé? And, I didn't have time to bring up the police reform. Maybe I'll try to squeeze that in at the end of the show. Senator Tim Scott did an excellent job today talking about police reform and the Republican bill that did not pass in the Senate. And he does a really excellent job of breaking down just why our politics are just so screwed up right now. Maybe I'll try to get some of that into this hour. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
From our sister station, KEZK, I'm sure you hear her on there, Trish Gazelle. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Hey, Ryan. Nice to talk to you. I haven't seen you in, what, 3 months?
I know. I don't remember the exact date that they decided to cut the cord and say, we got to go home. But it's been at least 3 months now. It might even be the anniversary date of 3 months.
Yeah, it was the middle of March. I do remember that, but I can't remember the exact date. Way too long.
Yeah, for someone that enjoys reality TV shows, has your consumption rose, stayed the same, or lowered over the last 3 months?
It's weird. I watch a lot of TV, but during this quarantine, for lack of a better word, I've been watching less. It's like I can't fully concentrate, and I don't know if it's because I'm working where I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just watching less. But now, you know, this has affected production on a lot of reality shows and TV shows, so a lot of them aren't on right now because of that.
Yeah, that's interesting. You'd think they would blow through whatever they had in the archives, and then you'd at least be able to get some new stuff. And then it's kind of like when the writer's strike hit, there was a certain cutoff point where you knew there wouldn't be anything new after that because they just stopped working.
Well, even the soap operas ran out of episodes, like Bold and the Beautiful, the few that are still on, and Days of Our Lives. Like, the Bold and Beautiful just returned to production this week, and so they'll have new episodes in August. But think about that, because they run new ones every day. They ran out.
I thought these type of shows were basically burning through these almost daily. Like, if they recorded it on a Tuesday, it's out by Thursday type of deal. I guess not. I mean, they really...
Well, I mean, it could be, but I mean, it could because they did run out of episodes. So, I mean, yeah, they don't have any new ones right now.
Yeah. Well, there's one show in particular that had a lot of viral sensationism, if that's a word, around it during this quarantine. And it was the show called 90 Day Fiancé, and because of one of the couples that were featured on it. First, I'm hoping you can explain to me the premise of this reality show and what goes into it.
90 Day Fiancé is the worst, best thing ever on TV. So basically, someone in America usually meet someone online. That's usually how they do it. Or maybe they were visiting their country and met them there. Whatever. That doesn't matter how they met. So it's someone from a foreign country. They fall in love and they come over on the 90-day K-1 visa.
Okay.
So it's called 90-day fiancé because of that. They come over, they have 90 days to get married or they have to go back to their country. Yeah, and that's why it's called that. So
the clock is ticking.
and not always, but a lot of times it's like older women with really younger men or older men with really younger women. Mm-hmm. Not always, but a lot of the time. And it's just great because think about it. And most of the time they meet online. If you've never met someone, they come over, you've only talked to them online, and then you have 90 days to figure out if you want to marry them.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of times you're meeting somebody from a country where the culture, it's just so different. I mean, sometimes third world countries, you know?
Wow.
And a lot of times the Americans go visit them, which is even more comical, just because it's like culture shock.
You know, my mom used to work with someone that did that a couple of times, the mail order bride, per se, from Russia, and never worked out, which is, it's interesting to think that this is being documented in that way. When they talk to each other online, are they misrepresenting themselves, or is it more or less like, well, beggars can't be choosers, so you want to take advantage of this program, so take it or leave it?
Well, most of the times if they made the TV show, I'm sure a lot of that happens where they're, you know, catfishing or something like that. But if they made the TV show, they're mostly real. There are a few cases where the guy doesn't turn out to be real or the girl doesn't. But if they made the show, they've already vetted it, you know, so it actually turns out to be real people or else we wouldn't have a show. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But there was one guy who did have a Russian girlfriend. They only talk on this one specific website. He has flown to Ukraine to meet her, and she, like, ditched him, like, 5 times. But finally, on this season, she did meet up with him. But it was, you could just tell that he was way more into her than she was into him, and she maybe just wanted to get a green card.
Yeah.
She basically said that.
Oh, man. Well, she really playing hard to get. Well, it doesn't seem like she needed to play it that way to get the green card. And that's kind of tough to watch that on a national television show. Do you ever feel sad or any emotions towards the people, or do you just watch it indifferent and say, wow, I can't believe this is happening?
Well, we're all watching going, what are you doing? Like, there's this one woman who, this guy, his name was Williams, and he was telling her he was from England and he was really hot. I mean, like, built, and, you know, he was catfishing her. This one was a catfish, and you're just like, oh, and her kids were trying to tell her, like, hey, this guy isn't real. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you kind of feel sorry for him. Like, oh, you just must be really sad and lonely, you know, to kind of hang on to this and think it's going to be your thing for the rest of your life.
On a side note, is that catfish show still on MTV or is that long gone?
No, it's still on. Yeah, with Nev. I stopped watching it though because I think a lot of them are fake. I think they set the stories up. But yeah, that catfish show's still on.
At some point they have to. Well, the viral side of this during the quarantine was a couple by the name of Ed and Rose. And I've seen pictures of Ed all over the internet. I had no idea why Ed was trending. I had no idea why anyone knew who this guy was, but it had to do with 90 Day Fiancé, and I'm hoping you can explain to me the saga that is Ed and Rose.
Well, Ed is a funny guy, and he's very short, okay? I'm talking like, I don't know, 4 foot something. Mm-hmm. But he lied to her and didn't tell her that he was short. And that's one of the biggest reasons. His hair was kind of like all over the place. He was just a character,
I see,
for lack of a better word. And so when he got over to, he went to the Philippines where she lived. And it was like, you know, culture shock for him, showering outside with rats at your feet. He showered with her father. They didn't take all their clothes off.
But
yeah, the dad's like, well, let's just go shower together. But they kept their shorts on, but they're using, you know, they want to use the same water so they don't waste it. And it was just like a lot of cultural differences. And I think the big reason that they were trending is because he was like, he was nice about it in his way, but he was telling her like she needed to shave her legs, you know, because they don't do that, I guess.
Oh, I see.
That she had bad breath. I mean, he was just very kind of rude in telling her all the ways that she was not womanly, although he had some, you know,
major
issues himself.
Flaws. Yeah.
That he lied about. He didn't tell her that he didn't want to have kids anymore and she wanted to have kids. So it was just like this big thing. And then so she ended up leaving him and yeah, they didn't work out too well.
What a power move by that dad. So he comes down there.
Yeah.
Number one, here's some old dude that wants to court my daughter from the internet. Yeah. Hey, let's go take a shower together, buddy.
And they had to sleep in the same bed, I think,
A power move, seriously. Yeah. Trish Gazelle joins us every once in a while from our sister station, KEZK. And I'm just having so much fun. Let's continue with her after the break on Overnight America KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. michaelsflooringoutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and Trish Gazelle, she's on our sister station, KEZK. She said she'd join us, talk some reality shows with us. And we're talking about this one called 90 Day Fiancé with Ed and Rose and becoming a viral sensation, and I'm still trying to figure this all out. Ed goes down there, and was his personality represented properly through the internet conversations, and it was just his physical appearance that wasn't, or was there more to it?
Well, it was his physical appearance that he lied about because he was always sitting down, I guess. You know, he didn't tell her a lot of those things. And the way he delivered the, hey, can you shave your legs? Like, he just bought her a razor and was like, it's not attractive. Could you please shave your legs? And he bought her a toothbrush and mouthwash and told her her breath was bad. So it was like his delivery on top of his lying about his own personal stuff that just the internet went crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, guys are not tactful in that. They are very straightforward and don't understand when they're being rude. Girls are different. So I think about my wife and how she has changed me over the years. And that's basically what most women do to men. They find a way to do it, but it's a gradual thing. And then you ease into it. Before you know it, you're a changed guy. And
yeah, like just sticking stuff in your closet or something, or so you wear it, or like subtle, like,
oh,
here,
yeah,
let me just set this out and see if you.
Well, exactly. Or your clothes all of a sudden start disappearing. You're saying, hey, what happened to that one shirt I liked? Oh, I don't know. It's crazy. It must have disappeared. But hey, look at this one. This one's pretty nice. Or as my wife found out very quickly, I am not too picky, but if she irons it for me, like if we're going to go somewhere, I'll wear it. So she realized, hey, she could pick anything she wants as long as there's other compromises and things. So ultimately, in the end, this Ed guy goes down. He visits Rose and the family. What happens after that?
Oh, wait, I forgot the part where he asks her to take an STD test. Yes. So that was like another thing. She's like, do you not trust me? Like, this is rude and weird. So anyway, he goes there and they have, you know, an okay time until some of these things pop up, like the STD test, the razor and the mouthwash and the toothpaste. And then he tells her that he doesn't want to have any more kids. And she's like, you should have told me this before you came here. You know, we're wasting our time. I want more children. He's like, I'm 50 something years old. She was like 20 something years old. He's like, I'm finished. I don't have the money to raise any more kids. And, you know, that's the other thing about this show. These people that more times than not in America, you know, they're middle class or just, you know, don't have a lot of money. And these people in the foreign country think they've landed the jackpot because they're, you know, they got an American. They don't realize.
Wait a minute.
Not
yeah. You don't have to shower with your dad. Whew.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, yeah, he's like, I don't have the money to raise more kids. I don't want more kids. And she said, you need to tell me. So the trip was fine in parts, but basically she ended up leaving him over the kids thing. And then they broke up. But then at the end of the season, they have like a reunion show. And usually they're all in the same room or the people in the foreign country are on Skype or FaceTime or something. And they're, you know, in the reunion and they're all yelling back and forth. But this time it was all everybody from home because of the quarantine. So, yeah, that did not go well with Ed and Rose at the reunion either.
Oh, wow. Was there a language barrier or did they both speak English?
There was a, she spoke a lot of English, but she did have a translator there for some of it. So, you know, a lot of times like. There was a the couple I referred to where the woman was in Russia and he was here. They could not communicate at all. They had to use the Google Translator on your phone most of the time when they were in person. Like a lot of times they can't speak the same language either.
Wow. So that's the saga. Now today, Ed is
saga.
Like a viral star on the internet. Is he able to ride that popularity? Is like, do people still seek him out for interviews and things?
I think so a little bit. It's kind of died down since the seasons ended. And now there's another season called 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way, where the Americans move to the foreign country.
Oh.
So that's running right now on TLC if you want to watch.
They move to the other country. That's another move too.
What
a twist.
So let me ask you, what does your wife watch that she makes you watch that maybe is, does she like any reality shows or anything? You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to sit through this.
I try to leverage if we pick something and I don't want to see it. So she only watches The Bachelor as her reality show. And she's really into it though. So she,
so do you get into it by default?
No, I don't. But if a lot of times I'm doing my show at night. So if it's on Monday nights or whatever it is, I don't have to be around when it's on. Now, if it's something that's recorded, like she was saving it and it's like, OK, it's a Friday night. We're both at home. And she says, hey, can we watch this? And I really don't want to watch it. I try to find ways to leverage it. I'll be like, yeah, we could do that. But you got to rub my back while we're watching it. And normally I can get away with it for about 10 minutes until she's like, okay, I'm done with this. It ain't worth it. And
don't
then it's
lie.
Over.
You get into it and you just don't want to act like it. You love The Bachelor. Come on, fess up.
I do not. But she really enjoys listening to the reactions to it. So she's got a podcast she listens to that recaps it. And it's to her, the only reason she watches the show is because she enjoys the podcast so much. And she wants to know what they're talking about. That's why she, isn't that something? So it changed her viewing habits. And reality show wise, I guess, I don't know if there's anything else that we watch. I mean, it's pretty, once in a while, we'll pull out a, what's that one where you go through and the house is a complete mess? The
Hoarders?
Oh, Hoarders, yes.
Oh, I love Hoarders on A&E,
I can only do maybe one or two episodes at a time of that, and I'm completely turned off from it for a long time. It just, like, traumatizes me.
So, yeah, it's pretty gross in some instances, like dead animals and feces. And,
man, there was that one, the lady had her toilet backed up. To,
She had just bags of
it was horrible.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and the other one, I don't, does HGTV count as a reality show when they do, like, the House Hunters or Love and List It?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll watch some of that. I enjoy it.
Because it's not a scripted show. I think that counts.
Yeah, somewhat not scripted.
The other one I watch, I cannot eat while I watch Hoarders. And the other one I watch, too, well, I watch all of them pretty much, is My 600-Pound Life with Dr. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one as well.
I haven't tried that one, but I'm kind of fascinated. So is it one main character, or do they follow multiple people?
No, multiple people. So like each one is a self-contained person for 2 hours, their journey through. They're at least 600 pounds or more. And then their journey, they all go to this one doctor called Dr. Now. Mm-hmm. That's an abbreviation because he has a really complicated last name. But everyone loves Dr. Now. So at the end, they go to him for the weight loss surgery. Some actually, and he makes them lose like so many pounds before he'll agree to do the surgery. Some make it, some don't, but it's like their journey to this weight loss. And a lot of these people are like trapped in their homes. You know, they can't leave because they can't walk or they can't move. They can't get a job. So it's like the entire journey to ultimately, hopefully, get the weight loss surgery.
Interesting. That's got to be difficult to take that step, that little bit of responsibility to do what he needs you to do before it. And that's difficult for a lot of people. It's not an easy thing. But hopefully, if they're on TV, it gives them the motivation to keep up with it and keep with it.
Well, it's interesting because each person, you know, it's rooted in something else. Their weight gain and why they're kind of trapped, so to speak, in the life that they're in is because of some emotional trauma that happened. You know, they always get to that somewhere in the episode too. It's always rooted in something else, like a bad childhood or something happened to them. There's always trauma involved. It's interesting to see, you know, just that whole thing play out. And it really makes you think. And I'm not watching it to gawk at them or make fun of them. It's like, it's really an emotional journey for them.
I get it. All right, so there it is, reality shows and all the fun stuff. And I'm completely shocked that your consumption level has dropped during this time.
I know.
You think this
would
be...
I'm getting back into it, though. I'm getting back. And honestly, anytime you want to talk about it, let me know. I thought we were going to like talk about the state of Fallujah or something, but I'm glad that it was reality
Fallujah.
Show.
So. You're paying
I know when I'm
attention.
Being called into KMOX, it's for something about reality shows.
Yeah, use big words or things like that. But to me, you know, the reality show thing is I have had, for maybe 2 months straight, we talked only quarantine. And now for like a month straight, we've talked about race and protest and all of these things. I really need to pick up a reality show to drop all of this. So we should do this more often. Trish Gazelle, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Anytime. Thanks, Ryan.
And she joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And Overnight America is going to hang out for the next 10 minutes or so. And I said that I was going to play some clips from earlier. And I think it's an interesting time in American history because every time we see something happen on a national standpoint, let it be in Minnesota or let it be what we saw in Atlanta or whatever, everyone sparks the debate. Was it the appropriate action or was it not? Was there some sort of racial component to it or was there not? And you hear about all of these different instances and then rioting and protest and violence and destruction and peaceful protest. There's a whole mix of things that happen all at the same time. And eventually it happens for a couple of weeks and eventually nothing happens. What the interesting thing is, at least on a governmental level, you had President Trump enact some changes when it comes to policing. So he had this executive order that was more or less just guidelines. Here's some things that I would like to see, which puts it into the hand of the legislators. And today there was a vote on a package that was put together in the lead of this on the Republican Party is a senator by the name of Tim Scott. Tim Scott did a fantastic job trying to find what are the common ground things that we could do in order to help the situation, in order to try to root out some of the things that are not good when it comes to practicing policing. Tim Scott put a pretty comprehensive thing together, which was completely slapped down by the Democrats. And he took to the Senate floor today to talk about just some of his frustrations with it. And he goes really step by step, based on some of the different key points of his legislation. And when he tried to talk to the other side, when he tried to reach out to the other aisle, he said, what's your problem with it? And then they would say, well, I don't like this. And he would say, okay, make an amendment and we'll change that. I'm for that change. And it didn't matter how many times he said, we can do this. every single time the Democrats said, no, you can't. And his frustrations were absolutely warranted in what he was laying out today. Like, for example,
today, I lost a vote on a piece of legislation that would have led to systemic change in the relationship between the communities of color and the law enforcement community. We would have broken this concept in this nation that somehow, some way, you have to either be for law enforcement or for communities of color. That is a false binary choice. It's just not true. This legislation spoke to the important issues that have brought us here today. We wouldn't be here if it were not, as Senator Perdue alluded to, the death of yet another African-American man, George Floyd's, his murder is why the country has given us the opportunity to lead. And my friends on the other side just said no. Not no to the legislation. They just said no.
All right, so there was one other important part of his 30-minute speech on the floor today that I want to play. And before I do that, there's a few other auxiliary things that happened today. So the vote went through. They needed 60 votes in order to get this passed, 60 votes to overcome the procedural hurdle. It came up to 55 votes to 45 votes. Originally, it was 46 votes, but then I read that Mitch McConnell changed his vote in order to make it procedurally possible to bring this back up. I'm not exactly sure that mechanism. I might have to read more into that, but you may hear Tim Scott bring up they had 56 votes and they needed 60. But really, in the end, they had to change the one. At least that's what they did strategically speaking. So they talk about it. Here's what Nancy Pelosi said about this bill.
In other words, for something to happen, they're going to have to face the realities of police brutality, the realities of the need for justice in policing, and the recognition that there are many, many good people in law enforcement, but not all, and that we have to address those concerns. So when they admit that and have some suggestions that are worthy of consideration, but so far they were trying to get away with murder, actually, the murder of George Floyd.
Nancy Cheap Shot Pelosi. Let me point this out, and this is something I would encourage you to do, and Tim Scott brings this up in his speech. He said, for all the national articles that are out there trying to say, here's how the Republicans are getting it wrong, he said, I want you to read my legislation, and then I want you to read the Democrats. You tell me what I am missing from mine, because there is nothing missing from this, nothing. And let me go back, and even President Trump weighed in on this.
This is a great bill, strongly endorsed by, as you know, Tim Scott, who's terrific, who is a terrific man, great senator, South Carolina. And Mitch wants it to happen. I would like to see it happen, but we won't sacrifice. We won't do that. We won't do anything that's going to hurt our police.
Yeah. And part of the other side, Tim Scott actually addressed Nancy Pelosi.
When Speaker Pelosi says, one of the most heinous things I can imagine, that the Republicans are actually trying to cover up murder, the murder of George Floyd, with our legislation. That's not politics. That's not a game to win. What's become evident to me is that she knows something that we all know. She knows that she can say that because the Democrats have a monopoly on the black vote.
Uh-huh. He's calling it out, and he's calling it the way it is. That's Senator Tim Scott. Mitch McConnell even taking some time to point out the flaw in Pelosi's argument there.
The Speaker of the House told CBS News that because Senate Republicans do support Senator Tim Scott's reform bill, we are all, quote, listen to this jaw-dropping comment. Trying to get away with murder? The murder of George Floyd? 2 weeks ago, it was implied the Senate would have blood on our hands if we didn't take up police reform. Now, Democrats say Senator Scott and 48 other senators have blood on our hands because we are trying to take up police reform.
Mm-hmm. And it's very important to realize there is one party that is blocking this, and it's the Democrat Party right now. And why would they want to block it if they were actually for some sort of change? And I want to go back to what I mentioned before. How many times have we seen something happen in the country and you said, okay, what can we do to help this situation, to avoid this from happening again? What can we do to make sure that there is understanding that there is evil in this world and you can't stop everything, but what can we do to at least move in the right direction to make it better? What can we do? There's one party that's trying to do that, and it's the Republican Party right now. So Tim Scott asked the question, why in the world would the Democrats block progress when it comes to these policing laws? Why in the world would the Democrats not want to make things better? Why in the world are they going out there and talking a tough game and then again doing nothing? Here's his answer.
I find it disingenuous that people say, well, why don't you just sit down with one member and work it out? Well, if a manager's amendment won't do it, if the five amendments that they wrote in a letter saying that they need to have these things fixed won't do it, if 20 amendments won't do it, you have an open process on the floor of the United States Senate that requires us, requires 60 votes to get off of the bill, then what, pray tell, is the problem? Well, I finally realized what the problem is, Mr. President. The actual problem is not what is being offered. It is who is offering it.
Ooh, pay attention.
Took me a long time to figure out the most obvious thing in the room. It's not the what. I've listened to the press conferences. I've read the newspapers. I'm not sure that anyone who's actually reporting on the bill has actually read the bill. Because the next time I see another story or editorial that says, we don't do this, their bill does that, and you put the two together, and it's not just off, it's just dead wrong. So I realized finally, it's the who that's offering this.
It's the who that's offering this. That was his revelation to this. It's the who that's offering this. Democrats will allow anything in their power to stop actual progress. They'll do anything in their power to try to put anything on the back burner or drag their feet or sandbag anything that would be good for this country if for some reason it comes from someone with an R next to their name. And that's why nothing gets done. Our replay hours are coming up next. I had a great 4 hours here with you. We're back again tomorrow for Overnight America. I hope you can join us after the Cardinals radio replay on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. Make sure to join me on there too. Have a good night. We'll see you.
Heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio. Find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't wanna spend another
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.